So in the aftermath of our father Jacob's great big wrestling match, the third reading opens and tells us, Vayikra Yaakov Shem HaMokim Peniel. Yaakov called this place Peniel. Why did he call it Peniel? Funny name to give a place. He says, because Ki ro'isi alekim panim el panim, I saw God face to face. Vatinot al nafshi, and I was saved. The obvious question is, what does it mean that Yaakov saw God face to face, and because of that, he was grateful that he was saved? Yaakov saw Malachim before. It's not the first time he saw Malachim. Yaakov saw Malachim when he left Eretz Yisrael. He was greeted by Malachim when he came back to Eretz Yisrael. He sent Malachim to Esav when he was on the way. And now because he was with a Malach, he said, I saw God face to face. So, if he wasn't afraid of Malachim, then why is he afraid of a Malach? This is just one Malach. Correct. The Ur HaChaim says, because Yaakov never fought with a Malach. And panim means face-to-face combat. That's what it means, face-to-face. You always see face-to-face. Yaakov was talking to Malachim, conversing with Malachim, but fighting with a Malach, locking horns with a Malach, that was something new. So he commemorates this miracle. He observes or recognizes that there's a great miracle that happened here. This is not the norm. And as such, he names the place Peniel to remember what happened here. Now, Vayizach lehashemesh, the sun shines for Yaakov. Kasher over es Peniel, just as he's passing Penuel, vahu tzeleya al yerechei, and Yaakov is limping on his hip. Now, Vayizach lehashemesh is one of the oddest statements you'll ever find in the Bible. Last time I checked, the sun shines for everybody. First thing you say, I'm so lucky, the sun shone for me today. I mean, like, talk about geocentric. How could Yaakov say, V'yizach loy HaShemesh, that the sun shone for him? So Rashi says, well, you don't get carried away with that. L'shein b'nei Adamhu, that's the way people speak. People speak about a particular event that they happened to be in, and it unfolded when they were there, so they said it happened for me. It doesn't mean that they literally believe that the sun rose only for them. For example, Kishiganu l'makim pleini, heyu lanu HaShachar. We came to this place, and day broke for us. Day broke for you. Day broke for everybody. Day broke. So no, people speak the way. We came to this place as day broke for us. So this is the literal meaning, and then, in other words, the Torah speaks in euphemistic terms, the way people speak, and since that's how people speak, that's how Yaakov spoke, that's how the Torah speaks. Okay, Rashi believes that, and he shares it with you, but he's still not convinced. He said, yeah, but so why did the Torah have to speak like that? And why do we have to record that for posterity? There's got to be more to it. This is the straightforward, simple meaning, and that reads okay. However, the only way to really appreciate this, the fact that the Torah said it and recorded it for posterity, has to have more than the simple meaning. Rashi says, it does have more than the simple meaning. The way our sages delved into this and explained, the sun rose for him, for his needs, which means to say, Lerapais es tzil osai, that the sunshine healed Yaakov from his limp, as the Gemara tells us that the sun has healing powers. Kamodetema, like it says in the book of Malachi, Shemesh tzedaka umarpe bichnofeha, that the sun is charitable, so to speak. It does good for us, and it brings refuah. It brings healing to this world. Which does not mean that you should suntan like one of these tanning monsters. And that's just not healthy, and we know it's not healthy. But the idea of getting some sunshine is extremely healthy. A pediatrician once told me that there was a large family and a little baby who never got out. I guess everybody forgot about this kid. And the kid developed something called rickets because he had no sunlight for a very long time. Sunlight gives you vitamin D. Sunlight, it's important to be exposed to the sun. Even the winter sun in Canada, there's still sunlight. So v'oisai shoes. Now Rashi adds something very interesting. Earlier we said that Yaakov Avinu was leaving Eretz Yisrael 20 years ago, and what happened to him? The sun set prematurely, as he was at the spot of the future Beis Hamikdash. And what happened? The sun set, so he went to sleep, couldn't travel anymore. So now v'oisai shoes v'mir lishkoya, those hours that had been lost en route to Charon, that the sun had set prematurely, V'shviloi, all for him. Indeed for him. The sun set for him. Kishiyatsim Be'er, where he left Be'er heading to Charan. Now, mihara lizrayach, the sun rose prematurely, b'shviloi. So in the end, when it says Vayizach loy HaShemesh, the sun shone for him, it actually can be taken quite literally. The sun did shine for him. There was, Hashem put special UV rays in the sun, and it did bring about healing for Yaakov. And the sun actually did rise for him because it had set prematurely on account of Yaakov. Now it rose prematurely on account of Yaakov. So it works out. It actually did rise for him. Now there are other explanations of Vayizach loy HaShemesh. In fact, the Bereishis Rabba says that the whole world saw the sun, but Yaakov got the healing. And this is like Bechek HaBeira, something that God could do. God could invest in UV rays that they could do something for one person and not for everybody else. So the healing properties that Hashem invested in the sunlight that morning were unique for Yaakov. Yaakov was sent a special healing. You could call this a miracle. If you get a limp, you don't just get healed. If your sciatic nerve is dislodged and your hip is kind of moved aside, you don't just get healed because the sun shines. In other words, don't try this at home. Don't expect that if you'll have an injury, no problem. Just next morning when the sun shines, be there when the sun shines, no problem. You're all healed up. Don't be so sure. Heat does heal, but that's not what we're talking about here. Because no heat from a sunrise can heal anybody in any serious way. So this was, you know, something special that happened from Hashem. Now it says, he passes Penuel v'hutzeleah. So Rashi says, hoyetzeleah, he was limping kishazarcha HaShemesh. When the sun rose, he was limping. What does that mean? So Rashi's grandson, Rashbam, adds this in a very, augments this and adds a point. He says, and at night, Yaakov couldn't see what was going on, he may have felt faint or weak, but he didn't actually notice he was limping. But in the morning, there was no light at night, it was dark. When he was no longer in the dark, then he realized he was limping. That's why it says, v'hutzeleah, not that he started limping in the morning, he limped whenever he finished his wrestling match. But he was limping, it was obvious, the morning rose, sun rose, day broke, and he was limping, meaning that's when it was visible, that's when he could see it.
Is it a more fundamental question, which is, why does it say Penuel now as opposed to Peniel? You just named it a pasuk before it's Peniel.
I think that's like a grammatical thing. Why he goes from, he called it Peniel and he went away from Penuel, over as Penuel. But I'm not sure, sort of. Okay. I'm assuming that it's grammatical. Okay. We have sometimes words that are pronounced differently, even names that are pronounced differently, if they're depending on the tense. We have to assume that that's the case here. Verse 33, and with this, the 32nd chapter of Parshas of Chumash Bereishis concludes. Al Kain, therefore, la yechlu bnei Yisrael es gid hanasha. The Jewish people will not be eating the gid hanasha, which is literally known as the sciatic nerve. But if you come to somebody and say, "Hi, welcome to our steakhouse. Would you like sciatic nerve?" They'll probably look at you like you're crazy, and they'll say, "No, I don't want sciatic nerve." But if you come and say, "Would you like a T-bone steak?" So, oh, sure, yeah, like that's those big, thick steaks, right, that you never get to see because you're not allowed to eat it. So the Jewish people don't eat meat like that. Asher al-kaf ha-yareach, which is on the thigh, the supple part of the thigh, ad hayem hazeh, until this very day. Why? Ki noga b'chaf yareach Yaakov, because the angel had touched the hip of Yaakov, b'gid hanasha, and he had struck him in the gid hanasha. All right, let's go to Rashi and say, what is a gid hanasha? How does it become named gid hanasha? So a gid is like a sinew, what a gid is. So the gid, or this sinew, runs the length of the hip. Okay, so it's a gid. Call it gid hayareach. Why is gid hanasha? V'lama nikra shmoi gid hanasha. Rashi actually asked the question, which is quite odd. It's unusual. Rashi should actually spill out the question. Usually we just give you an explanation. He spells it out. So why gid hanasha? What does nasha mean? Rashi says, lafi, that's because, shanasha, because it sprang, mimikoy meva Allah. It literally was dislocated. The angel managed to do some serious damage here. And the entire sinew, which had a particular place where it runs through along the bone, it literally moved. The whole thing moved. Was dislocated. And because of its dislocation, that's why it's called Gidanasha. Vehu l'shen kfitza. That comes from the terminology of springing or jumping or dislocation or moving. V'chein. Similarly, we see there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It says, Noshsa gvurasam, which means their strength sprang from them. They had strength, the strength sprang. It went away. They no longer had it. So the gid went away from its place. The gid was here, and then it sprang forward. Similarly, v'chein, we find also, in a little bit of a different tense, not literally as in the notion of springing or moving from a place, but we find also when Yosef HaTzadik names his son Menashe, he says, the reason I name his son Menashe is Kinashani Alikim Eskola Mali, because God has distanced from me, or pushed away from me, all of my travail, all my sorrow, all my difficulty, all my pain. So here, it's not as literal. That's why we go first for the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, even though Yirmiyahu is in the Nevi'im, is in the Prophets, and this we're going back now to the actual Pentateuch, the actual to the book of Bereishis. It would seem logical first to quote from Bereishis, only later to go to Yirmiyahu. But the reason is that in here, the gid, or the sinew, literally sprang. It literally jumped. It moved. So he gives us an example. There is no other example in the Bible of something that physically moves. But when somebody has strength and the strength springs from them, it's a little more literal than God has made me forget, or that my sorrows have sprung from me. So because the sorrows is a little more nebulous, it's less actual, even though the strength is not as actual either. But so Rashi goes from the less actual to even less actual, because he's trying to bring a pasuk, he's trying to bring a verse to buttress what he's saying. So he wants to bring it as literal as possible. So even if it's not in order, he's going to bring whatever's closer to the pshat, whatever fits more with the grammar that he's trying to introduce. Rashi says that kafa yareach, he gives us a French word, and our local Frenchman is not here today, so I don't know what it means. Pulfa, or pulfu. But he says, this is called basar gaveya, v'solul, v'ogul, kare kaf. Whenever you have flesh, which is like round, and has a supple roundness to it, then it's called a kaf, a spoon. That the Gemara speaks over there about a small girl becoming mature and that her hips turn female. So b'simani bagras, when she becomes mature, so that's the expression is until her hip spoons over or becomes more round. Right? Because little girls are little girls. Little girls, little boys don't look that different. Their body changes form later on. So we use the same expression. So I guess Rashi is bringing us a very literal example.
He's not bothered by biology
as much as by etymology. He's worried about the words. Actually, wants you to understand the words, the origin, the source of the word. If you know the origin, the source of the word, you'll be able to learn and understand how this word applies. So he gives you a grammar lesson, not because he wants you to become a grammatician, but he wants you to know how to understand the words of the Chumash.
So you're saying that literally it should have said Gid Hayareach, but it says Gid Hanasha.
Correct. Correct.
Something to do is from the
if it says Gid Hanasha, there's a reason. We call it Gid Hanasha. Nobody else calls it Gid Hanasha. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sciatica means, but I never Googled it. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't mean jumping. Huh?
It hurts.
It hurts, huh? It hurts. So I've heard. Shalom Nida. So now we have this idea that we don't need to give the nasha. Why do we need to give the nasha? Because Yaakov wrestled with an angel. Rashbam is a little more explicit. He says, Lizker Gvuroso, this comes so we should remember the might and of Yaakov and the miracle that happened with him, that he didn't die wrestling with an angel, which was the expected thing. Now the Chizkuni and many other Rishonim talk about this a little bit differently. They say that Yaakov and his children accepted upon themselves or maybe were fined for having left their father alone, that they no longer got to enjoy sirloin steak. So you left your father alone, you'll remember this for the rest of the time, you won't have that great big cut. And if you'll tell me that you could remove the Gid Hanasha, yeah, but by the time you finish removing the Gid Hanasha, that big fancy steak is in ribbons. It don't look special anymore. Yeah, I remember I drive by and see these billboards for, what's it called, downtown, Christ Steakhouse? Ruth Christ. I'm like, I don't understand, how come I never saw such a steak? I never saw a steak look like this. And I realized that must be the Gid Hanasha. That must be the sirloin steak that they're showing there. No wonder I never saw such a steak. Okay, so now we're going to analyze this business of remembering a miracle by skipping the T-bone. Like, what's up with that?
Specifically, like, why that body part was
right.
Like,
what, choosing a body part, choosing a gid, like a sciatic nerve. I mean, I only know what a sciatic nerve is because Nebuchadnezzar people suffer from sciatic nerve. Remember, the Rebbe was limping. People said it was sciatic nerve. That's when I learned the word. Right? Like, some people have experienced it.
It slows you down.
Yeah, sure, it slows you down. It's like a very painful thing. Okay, but like, most people do not know that the animal has a sciatic nerve. Go ask the people in Ruth Chris Steakhouse. How's your sciatic nerve today? They will not understand what you're talking about. So the whole thing really sounds very odd. And the Rebbe gives us an incredible insight into this part of the Torah. Page Kuf Chav Dalet. It's the 20th entry in Vayishlach Simen Chof. The Sicha begins here with the quote from the Rashbam. But I just quoted with you, I shared with you before. Al kein lo yechlu, therefore they shouldn't eat. Rashbam says, Lezichrein gvurasa shel Yaakov, to remember the might of Yaakov, the nes shenasalo, and the miracle that happened to him, HaKadosh Baruch, shenasalo, HaKadosh Baruch, that God did for him, shelo met, that he didn't die. Okay. So the Rebbe begins his analysis by noting that in the Torah, there are many miracles that are spoken of. The Torah certainly could be termed a book of miracles. Not all miracles, but a lot of miracles. And this is miracles that happened to the patriarchs, and even miracles that happened to Yaakov. Even in Yaakov's dealing with sheep, there is at some point miraculous happening. The Imzais, and despite the fact that there are miracles with Abraham, miracles with Sarah, miracles with Isaac, miracles with Rivka, miracle, Rak l'nes zeh sh'atzos Yaakov, only this miracle of being saved from the angel, Asu nikva zecher l'deiros, something was established as a permanent reminder. What do we do to remember the miracle that Abraham was thrown into a fiery furnace?
Nothing.
Eat coals once a year, have a bonfire.
Don't do that.
It's not even mentioned. Okay. Exactly, I mentioned the Torah. It is kind of alluded to in the Torah that Yaakov had a battle where he threw dust, and the dust turned into ballistic missiles, and he was able to defeat a mighty army.
Avram.
So what, do we go once a year and throw dust? No. We do take bows and arrows on Lag Bomer, but that's to commemorate Rabbi Akiva. We don't do anything to commemorate that miracle. In fact, we don't even know what day that miracle was. And so on and so forth. There are many miracles that are talked, that are spoken of. And angels that appear. You know, We don't know the answer, or we don't know the details as to when did it happen, what do we do to commemorate it. We don't. Mitamol, this one thing, we have a huge commemoration. Our diet changed forever. We didn't get the big steaks. Why? Oh, because we had a miracle. Because our great-granddaddy Jacob had a wrestling match. Oh, I see. Because you got to invite you. Would you like dinner? No, we can't eat that. Why? Well, it's like, goes something like this, because 3,700 years ago, our grandfather had a wrestling match with an angel. He was limping in the morning, so we don't eat steak. Really? It's like, that's very logical. V'tam adavar, and the reason for this mitzvah, Kosev HaChinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Shabbatzolos Yaakov, Miyad Saro Shel Esav, that in the saving of Yaakov from the spiritual alter ego, or angel of Esav, Yesh Mashmos Klolos B'chai Am Yisrael, there is an overriding and general message for all of Am Yisrael. And this is a quote from the Book of Torah Education, the Chinuch. He says like this, Remez li Yisrael, this is a sign, this is an allusion for Am Yisrael. Sha'af al pi she'yavru tzores rabis, that even though they will experience many, many great travails and much sorrow in the exiles, mi'ad ha'amim, from the hands of the nations, or mi'ad b'nei Esav, from the hands from the Esavites, Sheyiyu, that despite the fact that this will all happen, Sheyiyu betuchim, that we should be certain, Shelo yevedu, will never ever be lost. They will never destroy us. Elo le'olam ya'amid zaram, the seed of Israel will last forever. So despite the fact that we have been to hell and back over the last 2,000 years of exile, the sign, the symbol of our continued success, of our survival, of our triumph over our enemies, is the battle of Jacob and the Malach, this dark angel. This dark angel, which is Esav, which ultimately is Amalek, this battle between Jacob and the angel is symbolic of our wrestling with the challenges over the centuries of Galut, over the millennia of Galut. And just as Yaakov survived then, we survive today. That's what he says. So the Rebbe says, okay, Vitzarech Bir, this needs further elucidation. If the reason that this miracle needs to be commemorated is machmatayoto nes hatzalak klali, because it represents something much bigger than a wrestling match or a difficult night in the life of Am Yisrael, in the annals of the Jewish people, of Jewish history, it represents something which is larger than life and something which is symbolic of our struggles throughout the length of the exile. L'cha'era, so ostensibly then, that we should have been remembering the miracle by experiencing and doing something that speaks to and emphasizes the saving of Yaakov from the danger that he was in. Not in the prohibition of Gidon Asha, which Gidon Asha, that's not the saving of Yaakov. That's like a detail. That's a little detail. It's a sidebar in the story. In the story where Yaakov wrestles, what's the big story? What's the narrative? The narrative is Yaakov wrestles. The narrative is these dark forces seek to do him in. And the storyline is Yaakov wrestles all night, and in the end he's successful, and he is no longer called Yaakov, now he's called Yisrael. Okay, that's pretty cool. And we get called Yisrael afterwards. So that remains our name. And actually, when we recall that name, we recall the struggles of Yaakov and the successes of Yaakov. That makes sense. But now, there's a little sidebar to the story. And the sidebar to the story is, in the end of all the wrestling, he was limping. He survived, but he was limping. So now we should remember till the end of time that he was limping. But don't worry. The sun rose, and God made a miracle, and he limped no more. Why would we emphasize or obsess over a detail instead of talk about the primary thrust, the real storyline here, the real narrative? We're ignoring the narrative for instead of focusing on the forest, we just like chose a certain tree. We're looking at a tree. Why?
Commemorating this allows you to remember the narrative.
I understand that commemorate allows me to remember the narrative, but why not commemorate the narrative to begin with? Why not a commemoration that directly commemorates a narrative instead of a commemoration that is a detail of the story, and through the detail I come to understand or think of and speak about the story itself? Okay. That's the question. You say to me, Zu, furthermore, not only we remember, it seems, only a small detail, Ella, but in this detail, yeshtom hakbolas v'dikdukim mifuratam ayeser, it gets even more detailed. It's a very detail-oriented thing. Listen to this. You probably didn't know this. The Gemara in Chulin says, "Ha'iser hu dafke begid hashal hakaf ha'yerech." It's the only the sinew or the nerve which is on the actual hip. However, oif she'in le'kaf yerech, a bird has something like a sciatic nerve. Whatever the sciatic nerve does, I don't know what it does, but does something. And a bird has something similar, but the bird doesn't have it on the hip. Well, because birds don't have hips, so therefore gid mutter, you can eat the gid. It's not prohibited within fowl. It's only prohibited within animals. L'das Rabbi Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it's only on the right side. You could have T-bone steak according to Rabbi Yehuda. Just make sure it's the left side of the animal, not the right side of the animal. Because the malach only touched the right side. And the reason that the Chachamim hold that you're not allowed to have either side, which means you can't have any kind of sirloin steak, is only b'yamin u'b'smoil, because according to the Chachamim, ha'malach hiko b'pol b'shnei atzdadim, the malach whacked him on both sides. But if, according to the Chachamim, if the malach would have whacked Yaakov on one side, we only would be eating not the right one, and instead the left one would have been permissible. So we're obsessing over details over here. Who cares? Like, okay, so Yaakov got smacked on this side, whacked on that side. It's not the point. The point is the big picture. It's not understood, l'chayr. So the Rebbe says that this provides us with an incredibly profound insight as to what's the meaning of Hashem's miracles, and what's the meaning of this commemoration. Me'acha shatechin gidan asha, who k'delizker es chashivusam harbe shal b'nei Yisrael b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since the whole purpose of the sirloin steak prohibition is to remember the importance of the Jewish people in the eyes of Hashem, Hamashgiach v'shemer aleihem b'chol zman, who watches over them, supervises, and cares at all times. At all times, emphasis. Anu mevatim zikaron zeh, we therefore express this memory, this commemoration, be'emtzos prat katan b'techanes, by looking at a tiny detail within the miracle. Kedei l'landeinu, in order to teach us. Sha'afilu ha'pratim ha'ktanim v'atzdodim, that even the little details, even the seeming sidebars, even the things which are not the primary thrust of narrative, b'chai yam Yisrael, in the life of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel, negil makadosh baruch hu. In other words, God's not just looking at the big stuff, God's looking at the tiny little details. That's the message. The way we see within humanity, the human condition. When something is really important to you, then you sweat every detail. Why? Because it's a big thing. If it's a big thing, if it's really important, you sweat the details. People say, don't sweat the details. Yeah, when it's an important thing, you do sweat the details. People sweat, they're arranging a wedding, they sweat the details in the wedding because it's important to them. So this, the message for us is that we're important to Hashem. How would you know we're really important to Hashem? Because we're saying God sweats the details. He looks at every tiny little thing. Every detail is important. And then as much as when a person looks at the horrible years of the Holocaust and says, it looks like God went to sleep for 4 years. He just like forgot about us. Totally abandoned the Jewish people. We, as an act of faith, not that it makes sense to us, but as an act of faith, we say, every single detail, every detail was important to Hashem. How and why could it happen? We have no idea, no way of understanding that. But every single detail. We don't talk about the big thing. Every detail is important. Every tiny, tiny, minuscule detail is relevant in Hashem's eyes. Ukafisha mitzino legabe atayra, like we understand with regard to Torah itself. That we say, Rav Sadia Gaon says this, and the Rambam also says la halacha. Ha'oimer she'ein ha'toyra mim Hashem. Somebody says the Torah is not from God. Not the big Torah. Afilu pasuk echad. So this one pasuk, I don't like this pasuk because this pasuk makes me uncomfortable. It doesn't fit with my liberal ideology. I'll leave this pasuk aside. Or afilu teva achas, one word of the Torah. One word makes you uncomfortable. The Rambam rules in halacha, harizu kofer b'teira. You are a heretic. If you don't believe one word of the Torah, you don't believe the Torah at all. Ein hevdel im meduber pasuk ha'isek b'inyanim ikri u'klali. It doesn't matter if it's a pasuk that speaks about the big stuff. Talks about the faith of the Jewish people, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, or if it's a detail of a little story. In the words of the Rambam himself, in Pirush HaMishnayos, in Hevdel Beinu Bnei Cham Kushu Mitzrayim, there's no difference between, and the children of Cham were Kush and Mitzrayim, which were not necessarily our friends, Eritrea and Egypt, so what, who cares if they're the Bnei Cham? V'shem ishtei matavel, and the name of his wife was matavel, or v'timna hoise pelegesh, timna was a concubine. And there's no difference in any of those words, v'ben anoichi Hashem alekecha, or I am the Lord your God, or Shema Yisrael. Ki hakol mipi hagvura. All of it comes from the mouth of the might from Hashem. V'hakol teiris Hashem tmima. And so, this is the message to us. The reason we don't eat the sirloin steak, which is but a detail, not the story. It's a sidebar. Is to convey to us exactly that. That our value in Hashem's eyes is not just the big things, but is down into the little details. Our adulation, loyalty, and love of Torah is not just about the big Torah. It goes into the little details. I once heard a person who calls himself a rabbi speak, and he said, people say that, you know, our movement does not believe in the truth of the Torah. God, he says, did God give the Torah? He says, of course I believe God gave the Torah. Something happened at Sinai. It's just that the little details were filled in by others. I'm thinking, wow. That's like the Rambam says, you are an apikaitis. Like, if you say one word is not from Hashem, one detail is not from Hashem, you don't believe in the whole Torah. If you say, Hashem loves the Jewish people, Hashem makes miracles to the Jewish people. Well, not for me or for you, over little things, but it's just a big thing. Hashem cares about Klal Yisrael, with these people who believe in the Jewish people. So would you like to put on tefillin? No, I believe in the Jewish people. Would you like to eat kosher? Nah, that's like a little detail. Is your mezuzah kosher? Well, I have a nice case over there. Yeah, but if you don't have, let's not get into the details. I do the big stuff. I believe in Judaism. I believe in the Jewish people. I believe in the Torah, not the details. Well, in that case, you don't believe in anything. That's the message of the sirloin steak. And in the fact that it is a detail is not a detail. The fact that it is a detail, that is the storyline. That is the commemoration. And that is ultimately the greatest message of Hashem looking after us and of our survival, that it is, as they say, I don't want to say the devil's in the details, but maybe say God's in the details. The mitzvah's in the details. Holiness is in the details. Our eternity is in the details. And that's the story of our meeting morning.